The Sicha for Parshas Matis is in Likutei Sichas. It is the second Sicha on the Parsha in Chelek Ches, Volume 8 of Likutei Sichas. In this Parsha, we read the story where before the Jews crossed over the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael, the tribe of Gad and Reuven and half of the Shevet Menashe came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, since we have a lot of sheep, we want to settle here in this land on this side of the Jordan, because here there is good grazing grounds for sheep. So they came and they said, Imotzonu chein beinecha, if it is okay with you, if we find favor in your eyes, give us this land as our inheritance. Don't take us across the Jordan. And the Torah goes on to say that Moshe was very critical of them, and Moshe said to them, "Ha'acheichem yaveyu la'mulchama va'atem teishu pei." Your brothers are going to go to war to capture Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to be sitting here? The argument was that in order to capture the lands on this side of the Jordan, all Jews participated in the war, and you're going to benefit from that and have this as your land, but you're not going to fight with them in order to capture the land that they're going to inherit. So where's the fairness here? Then Moshe Rabbeinu went on to say, why are you turning the hearts of the Jews away you're discouraging them from crossing to the land that God is giving them. Moshe said, this is what your elders did, what your parents did. When I sent them, the spies, from Kadesh Barnea to check out the land, to spy out the land, they went up to Nachal Eshkel, and they came back, and of course they gave a negative report. And then God got very angry at the Jews and swore not to let them into the land except for Kolev and Yeshua, because they gave a good report. And now Moshe says, in very strong language, V'hinei kamtem tachas aviseichem, and now you rise up in place of your parents, tarbus anoshim chatoyim, students, disciples of sinful people, and you're going to bring further trouble to the Jewish people. So then, the two tribes, two and a half tribes, said to Moshe, our intention is that we will settle our families here and our sheep, and then v'anachnu necholetz chushim v'fnei b'nei Yisro, we will go up armed and lead the Jews in their battles, and once they are settled and all the Eretz Yisro has been captured and there's peace in the land, then we will come back and settle here and live here. And to this Moshe said, Moshe agreed, and approved of their plan. So in the Sicha, the Rebbe asks that according to the Eir HaChaim HaKadosh, when the two tribes came to Moshe and they said, we want to live here, they said, Ha'oretz asher hikah Hashem lefnei Adas Yisrael. They said, this land which God fought the battle, God beat the enemies and gave the land to the Jews. They said this in order to make it clear that they didn't mean to discourage Jews from going into the land, and they didn't mean to frighten them or to show any fear on their part of the nation that live in Eretz Yisrael, that people shouldn't think that that's why they're afraid to go across the Jordan. They said, God fights our battles anyway. So going to Israel is going to be no problem. There's no question that it's going to be successful, and God is going to give the rest of the land to the rest of the tribes. And therefore, it is not out of fear that we don't want to cross the Jordan, but on the contrary, because of our great trust, just as God fought our battles until now and gave us this land, so will God fight your battles in Eretz Yisrael and give you the rest of the land. So you don't really need us to help you fight, although they were the best soldiers. So they made it very clear that it was not a lack of faith, and it was certainly not a fear of the enemy that was making them choose to stay on this side of the Jordan. And yet, Moshe answered them so sharply, Ha'acheichem yaveyu lamulchama v'atem teishu pei, your brothers are going to go to war, and you're going to sit here. So Moshe was very critical of them. And what he meant by that was that although it's true that God is leading the war, and that God gives us success in a war, but we do have to fight the war. That too is part of God's command. And so you have to join your brothers in that fight. And then Moshe goes on to say, and why do you turn the hearts of your brothers away from the land? By staying here, you're discouraging the Jews from wanting to go into Israel, because they will think that you're staying here out of fear, and that your emuna and your trust in God's fighting the battles is just an excuse to cover up your fear. And then Moshe goes on with the strongest condemnation, and he says, you're just like the spies, your fathers, who refused to go into the land. And now you have taken their place and making the same mistake. So the Rebbe asks the following questions. Since the two tribes, the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, already said that they believe in God and they trust that God will give us the land, so how can Moshe then compare them to the spies who came back and said, we can't do it, lei nuchal lalis, that we can't beat the enemy? So where is the comparison here, since the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven clearly stated that they do believe, and the only problem that Moshe could find was that some other Jews might mistakenly interpret their staying on this side of the Jordan as an act of fear. So that certainly doesn't make them as bad as the spies who clearly said that they don't believe it can be done. Number two, the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven came to Moshe with a request. They said, if it's okay with you, don't take us to the other side of the Jordan. So all Moshe had to do was to say, it's not okay. And that would have ended the whole conversation. So why did Moshe have to attack them and say to them, you're as bad as your parents, you're doing the same thing? They came and asked. The Meraglim didn't ask. The Meraglim made a decision. They made a statement. And the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were merely asking whether it was okay. Number three, after it all got cleared up, and the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven said, we have every intention of crossing the Jordan and fighting the war with our brothers. We just want to leave our families and our sheep here on this side of the Jordan. Moshe agreed, which means that it was okay for them to do this. Why then do we find that later on, when the Jews were taken into Golus, the first to go into Golus were the two tribes of Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven? And as the Gemara quotes from Mishle concerning their going into exile, Nachla muvahelas b'risheina v'achrisa leisivurach, because they grabbed their inheritance first, the end was that it was not blessed. So if there was something wrong with their settling there, why did Moshe agree? So all of this could be explained, the Rebbe says, in that Moshe's complaint was not only that they are needed to join the war, and if not, they are abandoning their brothers and expressing a fear of going into Israel, but rather because they were saying, they were giving the message that the land of Israel is not the best land, that there is some virtue or some benefit to staying on this side of the Jordan, because this side of the Jordan is better land, better for sheep, but in some way better than Israel. And in this, Moshe said, why are you discouraging the hearts of your brothers from going to the land? This is what your parents did. The Meraglim, in addition to saying we're afraid to go, we can't go, we can't win this battle, they also said negative things about the land. It's not such a good land, it devours its inhabitants, and so on. And that, the giving a bad report, saying negative things about Eretz Yisrael, this is what disheartens the Jews from going. Not just the fear of the enemy. And so that's why in the response that Moshe gives to the Bnei Gad, the Bnei Ruvain, he mentions how the Meraglim went up Ad Nahal Eshkol, because they brought back the fruits and used it to criticize the land. And that's why, even after they agreed that they would be part of the battle, that they would be part of the army, that Moshe agreed and allowed them to settle here, yet their choice and their preference to settle on the other side of the Jordan is still considered to be a negative thing, which didn't end up having a very good result, because Moshe agreed that as long as you're not causing fear, as long as you're going to join the war and show a courage, then you're not doing that part of what the Meraglim did. But still, the fact that you prefer a land other than Israel for whatever reason, that itself is still a negative thing. So by going into the war, you're not discouraging other Jews, but by choosing to stay here, you're making a bad choice. But what remains to be explained is, since Moshe was devoted to all Jews and to every individual Jew, why was it that if, in fact, for the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, this was not such a good choice, even though it was okay for the rest of the Jews because it wasn't discouraging them, why would it be that Moshe wouldn't be concerned for their spiritual well-being? And why did he agree to have them do something that for them was not so good? To make the question even stronger, Chassidus says that the reason the Bnei Gad, the Bnei Ruvain, wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan and remain shepherds is because they wanted to stay somewhat isolated from worldly affairs. And by being shepherds out in the fields with a lot of time to learn and to think, they would be closer to God than if they came into the land and got caught up in physical activity, in worldly activity. And this is also why the Avos, the patriarchs, and the Shvatim, other than Yosef, also preferred to be shepherds, in order that they shouldn't be caught up and distracted by the demands of physical life. And in that way, they could be constantly connected and focused on godliness. And that shows an inner, a deeper similarity between Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain with the Meraglim, with the spies. Because the Meraglim also argued that they need to stay in the desert, their deeper intention was, that they needed to stay in the desert, because as long as they were in the desert and the food came from heaven and the water came from the stone and they had all the time in the world to focus on godliness, that way they could be connected to God at all times. But going into the land would mean that they would have to work the land. They would have to plow and seed and so on. That would take them away from godliness. And so they preferred to stay in the land where the bread comes from heaven, lechem min hashamayim, rather than lechem min haaretz. And although the patriarchs and the tribes behaved that way, they did remain shepherds and did not get involved in worldly affairs, and for them it was not considered a sin and they weren't punished for it. Even though in the end it turned out that Yosef was right, and that you do have to bring godliness into the world and into worldly affairs, but the difference is that the Meraglim were after Matan Torah, and the Shvatim, the tribes, were before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, when it had not yet been, the instruction had not yet been given to make the physical world into a receptive vessel for godliness and turn it into a dwelling place for God, then their choice may not have been the best, but it certainly wasn't a sin. But after Matan Torah, when Jews were told that the whole Kavana is that God comes down to Har Sinai and that the whole world has to become a dwelling place for God, so now the Meraglim, who refused to bring godliness to the world but want to stay in a desert and eat food from heaven, now it is a sin and not acceptable. So according to this, the question becomes even stronger. Why did Moshe agree to have the B'nai Gad and the B'nai Reuven stay on the other side of the Jordan in their choice, in their decision to remain uninvolved in worldly affairs, to remain separated from the physical world when it was already after Matan Torah, and now it's a sin to not be involved in making the world a godly place? So now we'll understand this distinction between those who stay in the world of Torah and those who go out into the world of business, into worldly affairs. The Yisachar and the Zvulun, the Morei Torah and the Morei Uvdim Tovim, those who are masters of Torah and those who are masters of the good deeds, who are involved in the physical world. Even today, we have this distinction, that there are those who devote themselves to the study of Torah, and yet it is not considered a sin or a fault. The reason being that in making the world a dwelling place for God, there are actually two parts. Number one is that God should be completely comfortable and not have to be concealed at all in His presence in the world. That the world should be completely and totally receptive to His essence. But in addition to this, it is also necessary that this presence not be concealed. That not only should God be comfortable and be present everywhere in the world, but that it should be obvious that God is present and comfortable in the whole world. And for this you need those who devote their life to Torah. Because those who devote their life to the doing of mitzvahs, they do the actual job of making the world receptive and a dwelling place for God. But how do we know, how are we going to understand when the world does become a dwelling place for God? How are we going to recognize that that's what happened? How is it going to be revealed and understood that this is what we're seeing? This comes only through devotion to the study of Torah. And that's why those who devote themselves to the study of Torah, the Morei Torah, through their learning, they contribute to making the world a dwelling place for God, because they bring the light, they bring the illumination to the dwelling place, so that it is an illuminated house, not a dark house. And they complete the job that the Mor and the Uvdin Tovim that those who do the mitzvahs in the physical world are accomplishing. But since bringing God into the world is accomplished primarily through the mitzvahs, through the uvdin tovim, through being involved with the world, that's why at all times there must be a majority of Jews who are devoted to mitzvahs, involved in the world, and making the world godly through that. And a minority remain involved with the study of Torah exclusively in order to bring light to that, to the Dira, to the dwelling place. And that's the difference between the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain and the Meraglim. The Meraglim demanded that all Jews remain in the desert, that nobody be involved in the physical world, nobody be involved in worldly affairs. And then there would be no Dira B'tachteinim at all. So they were severely punished for that. But the Bnei Gad, the Bnei Ruvain were saying, of course everyone should be involved in the world. And of course we have to make the world a dwelling place for God. And of course we have to elevate all physical things. So we will help you do that. We will help you accomplish that. But we will remain the shepherds. We will remain the Morei Torah. We will remain the learners, the studiers, to bring light to the Dira. What Moshe's criticism was, that it's not enough that most people go off and work the land and make the world a godly place, and a few remain in the yeshivas and in the study halls and devote themselves to the study of Torah and thereby illuminate the dwelling place, but those who study Torah have to actually help those who are doing the mitzvahs. Like the expression in the Mishnah, Kol ha'emer ein li ela Torah, afilu Torah ein li. A person who says, I devote myself exclusively to Torah, then he won't succeed even in the study of Torah. But it has to be Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. So you have to help those who are involved in making the physical world holy. And when they agreed to do that, then Moshe agreed that they should stay. As we said many times in the explanation of the term, of the phrase, Ho'el Yenim Yerdu L'Tachteinim, that at Matan Torah, there two things happened. The world went up and connected with God, and heaven came down and connected with earth. So that which was above came down, and that which was below went up. So the meaning of Ho'el Yenim Yerdu L'Tachteinim, that which was high came down to the lower world, that's an instruction for those who remain high, who remain in the holy environment of the yeshiva, of the study hall, who are the Torah learners, that they have to come down and assist those and have influence on those who have to go out into the world and make the world godly. So when the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain said, let us stay here, and we won't go across the Jordan, here Moshe said, this is not correct. This is not the way to study Torah. But after they accepted Moshe's criticism, and they were moved to Mesiras Nefesh, to capture the land, which means to make the land holy, to make the world a dwelling place for God, then Moshe agreed that they should be the ones who help the workers, who help the masters of the good deed to accomplish the task of Dira B'tachteinim by being their inspiration and their light. So it seems that when the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain agreed to be involved, to participate in the war of making Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, then their involvement and their kavana of fulfilling the purpose of creation to make the world a dwelling place for God, what was acceptable, and Moshe had no further complaints, because somebody has to fill that role even after Matan Torah. The Rebbe connects this with what is in the beginning of the parsha, the idea of making a neder and then breaking the neder, or hataras nedarim, resolving a neder. A neder means that you swear off the world, and hataras nedarim, undoing the neder, means being involved with the world. And so the theme of the parsha continues in the story of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, where there was this issue between separating yourself from the world or being involved in the world. After all of this, it remained on a very subtle level a little bit of a lack of truth of the Pnimiyus HaKavana. And that's why, even after all of this, the Gemara says that their rush to choose a dwelling, to choose their part of the land, their part of the inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, was not such a positive thing, because it was a little bit from the world of Tohu. It was too thoughtless. And it is not the Hisyashvus of Tikkun, was not the thoughtfulness that is necessary in order to make the world a thorough dwelling place for God. And this, the Rebbe connects with the story of Ben Azai. The Gemara tells that he didn't get married because he was so completely devoted to the study of Torah. And the Rebbe says in the Hilchos Talmud Torah that it is not a sin. There's no violation in a person who desires Torah and therefore does not get involved in the world, does not even get married. And yet, the Rebbe concludes that Ein zu atzas chachomim. This is not the advice that the sages would give. Hamedim laodam derech yishara shiyoverle. When they're instructing a person in the right path to choose, this would not be the advice that the sages would give. So, if it's not a sin, why, on the other hand, is it not given as advice? So the Rebbe says that at the beginning, as with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, their intention was good. And so the Kavana is a good one. It is not a sinful desire. It's not an unholy desire. But what can come from it isn't always so good. So the fact that they chose to live on the other side of the Jordan in order to be connected to God, that was a positive intention. They meant well, and it was a holy desire. And yet we find, as with Ben Azai, that his not getting married resulted in negative consequences. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who also devoted himself to 24 years of study exclusively and was separated from his wife for those 24 years, and yet it all ended up well, it all turned out fine, because he did it in cooperation with his wife. It was, in fact, her idea. And at the end, he came back to her. And so it all ended well because he went into the study of Torah with the intention of coming back into the world, whereas Ben Azai never did come back into the world. And so it was with the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Their intentions were good, but in the end, they had decided too quickly. It was not a thoroughly planned intention. They didn't think it through to the end, and in the end, it turned out negative.